My friends in Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior. Amen. We read in the Gospel reading today a story of a terrible sinner who was so graciously forgiven by the mercy of God. So too in the Old Testament reading that is assigned for today, we read of another sinner, even worse than that woman, King David, who committed murder and adultery. And we read that in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, as David is confronted with his sin by the prophet Nathan. We read these words. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but a little ewe lamb which he had bought. And he brought it up, and it grew up with him and his children. It used to eat of his morsel, and drink from his cup, and lie in his arms. And it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb, and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are that man." And so David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." This is God's word. Please be seated. On this Father's Day, may a special measure of the Spirit's power and blessing be poured out upon our Christian fathers of our congregation. On June 9th, 9 years ago, the United States House of Representatives unanimously passed a resolution supporting fathers in their crucial role of raising and nurturing and guiding their children. And this resolution said, in part, that the Congress resolved to recognize that the creation of a better America depends in large part upon fathers' involvement in the lives of their children. They resolved that each father in America accept his full share of the responsibility for the lives of his children, to encourage their academic and spiritual and moral development. And they resolved that fathers would devote more time and energy and resources to their children, but more importantly, would provide them a secure, affectionate family environment. That was House Resolution 417, passed by the 105th Congress on June 9, 1998. Wow. That is a lot for a father to shoulder, isn't it? According to our Congress, our national well-being depends in large part upon fathers who faithfully carry out their parental responsibilities. And now, some of these dads to whom the Congress is speaking are here this morning in this sanctuary. And maybe you're expecting even more piling on of expectations about how you're supposed to carry out your duties, your crucial work. You're waiting to hear this time not just from Congress, but now from Almighty God, to whom we are, as dads of all of us, ultimately responsible. Well, guess what? I've got a surprise for you, Dad, today. Not expectations. I'm not going to lay expectations upon you. I want to give you relief. Because dads, and all of the rest of you, here today, you are free to be a sinner and a failure. You heard me right. You're free to be a sinner here. To come here like that lady came to Jesus, to come here and to confess your mistakes as a father or in any other aspect of your life, to confess them, to be forgiven of them, to be welcomed again into the merciful arms of the Heavenly Father, and thus to be renewed in your daily walk with the Lord as a father, or as a mother, or as a son or daughter, or as a friend or a worker, or whatever your vocation in life is. Heaven knows that as a father, I have made plenty of mistakes. And that means that when I come here, I need something more than to have more expectations laid upon me. I can't even live up to the ones I've got now. I need mercy. I need grace. I need forgiveness. I need the Savior who says that He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners like me to repentance. If you want some relief on this Father's Day, consider King David of Israel. Last Sunday we said that he was a man's man, and indeed he was. But we learned today that he was also a sinner's sinner, an adulterer, and a murderer. And for a while he tried to conceal his sin, and he tried to carry around this tremendous burden of guilt that was upon his heart. Until one day the prophet Nathan came to David, and he brought to David what David thought was a legal case that he needed to decide. See, David was also the Supreme Court in his day. And so here comes Nathan with this legal case, so David thought. It involved a wealthy man who had many, many flocks and herds of sheep. And yet he stole a poor man's one and only beloved ewe lamb and slaughtered that sheep to feed a guest of his. And David was incensed, furious at this man. And in his legal decision, he decided that this man deserved to die, but that he would pay back four times what he had stolen. And then Nathan looked David square in the eye, and he said, "O king, you are that man." And immediately David got the point. He, with all of his harems, had stolen another man's one beloved wife. And now he had been caught. But the beautiful irony, you see, is that later on David would acknowledge that getting caught was the best thing that ever happened to him. Because now at last he could get rid of the guilt. He could confess his failure. He could throw himself onto the mercy of God and hear Nathan pronounce the absolution, the forgiveness of sins that rolled off of his lips. When Nathan said, "You are forgiven, you will not die," finally he was rid of the torment of that guilt that had been eating on the inside of him. Listen to the way David describes this time of his life in Psalm 32. He says, "When I was silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,' and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." David, although he didn't realize it at first, David was free before God just to be a sinner. And you are free before this cross and before this altar to do the same. To stop hiding. To stop concealing. To stop trying to cover up the shame. To stop pretending that you somehow can atone for your own sins and make up for them. And just to come here and to come clean with the Lord and your Savior. To come here and to say with David, "I have sinned against the Lord." And then to hear Christ say from his cross, "The Lord also has put away your sin." And now I say to you, now you can be the best possible father or mother or child or friend or co-worker. Because now you have been refashioned and you have been renewed in the infinite mercy and grace of God. He has made you a new creation now through Christ. But I do offer you this proviso, that just because you have been made a new creation, that does not mean that you will automatically be a good father, an excellent parent or mother or friends. And in this regard, David teaches us definitely how not to proceed. Because although it is true that he had been forgiven so much, and he loved the Lord so much, and though he followed the Lord in his own life, yet he failed to translate that into good parenting. As just an example of what happened in his life. There was, if you read in the next chapter of 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter, one of David's sons, Amnon, took a liking to his half-sister, Tamar. He deceived her and raped her. And that prompted Absalom, another son of David, and the full sister of Tamar, to retaliate and to kill Amnon. Now this is all going on in David's family. And that's just the very beginning of this whole sad saga of a family who was headed up by a man who loved the Lord, yes, who followed the Lord, but who never was much of a father. Where did David go wrong? And what can we as fathers learn from this? Fortunately, this isn't rocket science. Jesus says in his gospel, very simply, follow me. Follow me. What does that mean? Well, as a father, it simply means this. As a father, in addition to loving your children and providing for them and giving them a secure, loving home environment, in addition to that, fathers, you need to put yourself and your family where Jesus is to be found. Put them in the Word of God and at the table of the Lord in His sacrament. While David himself loved the Lord, he did not lead his family in that direction, and we see the results. You fathers, when you follow Jesus, don't forget to bring your family along with you to the Word, the sacrament, where Christ is to be found. Whether it's here in this room, at the sanctuary, or whether it's at the dinner table when you open up a devotion book and a Bible and you share a devotion and prayer together, bring your family to Christ. And Christ will gather you and your family into the loving arms of His mercy and assures you day after day that He will carry you through all of life's challenges and on to your heavenly home. After all, dads, what do you want your legacy to be? You can give your kids the very best home, the best education, the best economic grounding, the best car, the best career advice. You can supply them with the most love and attention and affection that this world has to offer. You can strive to be the perfect dad according to all of the authorities and their books out there. And you still will not have given them what they need the most. What they need more than anything is Christ and His gospel. Jesus is the only one who can put your children right with God through the forgiveness of their sins that He earned for them on the cross. Only He can guarantee the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. And your children will forgive you whatever failings you may have had when, as a father, they come to know through you the unsurpassed love of their Savior, because you introduced them to Him. And you know what? You will never feel better as a father than when that day comes when you meet your children on the other side in glory and they say to you, Dad, thanks. Thanks for following Jesus and for leading us too. Fathers, when you follow Jesus as forgiven sinners and invite your children to do the same, you have done your job well. Follow me, says Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.